Hello, friends, and welcome to episode number 292 of Bat Flips and Maple Dips. I'm Patrick, he's Justin, and what a weekend for baseball. Your Toronto Blue Jays are on a roll. Is that two series in a row?
It's two series wins in a row, yeah. Both of the first two home series of the year resulted in series wins, so.
We called all of our shots before these episodes started. What did the Jays need? 4-2, 2 series wins. What'd they get? 4-2, 2 series wins. They're 8-8 now, 10% of the way through the season. Could be a lot worse with the way this team has played.
Sure could be.
Very inconsistent. That being said, we're going to talk about everything. We're going to talk about some Jays news. We're going to talk about some minor league news / rehab news. Then we'll talk about the Colorado series, and then we'll preview the series against the New York Yankees. Oh, God, I'm so sick of hearing about the New York Yankees. We're not even 10% of the way through the year, and it's just a migraine already. I'm glad I'm not on social media, but if you like our social media feed, go ahead, at BFMD Podcast. We're not hard to find. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the episode, Justin. Let's just get right into the news.
Let's go for it. All right. So Spencer Strider, Patrick Marsh for the Atlanta Braves, pitcher who led the major leagues in strikeouts last year, will be out for the rest of the season. He had UCL brace surgery. It's a little bit different than Tommy John surgery. It's a newer procedure. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know exactly how they determine this, but there has to be a very specific way the UCL is damaged for this surgery to be plausible, and I guess it has a shorter recovery time. So the expectation is kind of that he'll be back right around opening day next year instead of the usual like 14 plus months that Tommy John would take. So it could be a bit of a quicker turnaround. He's definitely done for this year, of course, but a good chance that he makes a full recovery in time for opening day next year. That's a big loss. I mean, it's a great pitcher to watch. A lot of fun. The Jays only have to play the Braves once a year, so chances that you see him are pretty low unless you somehow face them in the playoffs, which only ever happened in the World Series, so very low. But yeah, it's tough for baseball. I mean, there's been a very high number of elbow injuries already this season to pitchers, as we've already kind of discussed at points over the season. But yeah, tough one. Tough for Atlanta.
Do you think this opens up the door for the Phillies?
It does, and I mean, Max Fried's also been really struggling for the Braves too so far this year. So they're what was looking like an easy cakewalk to them through a division is now looking a little bit less so. And going into today, I'm not sure what happens if Atlanta played today or not, but Acuna had not hit a home run yet this year either. So Braves are a little bit in tough right now, you could say. So. Definitely not the start they were looking for. And yeah, I'm pulling up Ronald Acuna's stats to confirm. And yeah, he has not hit a home run yet this year. His OPS is still over 700, so he's not off. Like he's doing stuff. He has 7 stolen bases already. He's just not hitting for power yet. So
yeah, this is the point of the year though where it's like you look at the standings and the Jays are like pretty much right in the middle of the pack.
Not a bad place to be at this point.
Yeah, they're 8-8, which. You know, is probably disappointing to a lot of people. But that being said, you know, they're a game and a half back of a wild card position. But it's so early that, you know, the swings are going to be quite wild right now. And the Pittsburgh Pirates are leading the NL wild card. Makes me very happy. I like that.
Only you would look at wild card standings at this point in the season.
But, yeah, I mean, there's not really a point to looking at it. We can kind of be entertained a little bit by just kind of the wild stuff that's going on. Like the Kansas City Royals are off to a super hot start. Jays get to play them soon. The Cincinnati Reds are off to a hot start. And, it's just kind of weird. It's a weird start to the year. I wouldn't have predicted this. You know what's weird? The San Diego Padres are second in their division, but their record is 8-9.
Things are weird, man. It happens.
Yeah, it's all very weird. But speaking of weird, man, what are the Jays going to do behind the plate? I'm starting to get a little bit nervous about that backup catcher role. So do you have any news on Danny Jansen?
Sure do, Patrick Marsh. So Danny Jansen seems to have completed his rehab assignment for the Buffalo Bisons today. Danny Jansen played in 4 games down there and 13 ABs. He had an OPS of 972, which was included a .308 batting average. He had a grand slam and a double mixed in there. Walked once, struck out 4 times over those ABs. So, by all accounts, he should be coming back up to the Blue Jays tomorrow to start the Yankees series. I'd be frankly shocked if he wasn't. Good news was for the Blue Jays, Alejandro Kirk actually played well today. He was 2 for 2 with 2 walks as well. So it's good to see him actually hit the ball and not just right into the ground. The Jays will be getting some reinforcements there with Jano back. It'll also give them the opportunity to, you know, give Kirk some rest. He's only had 2 games off so far in the first 16. So definitely tough, especially early in the year.
It's showing.
Yeah, it's definitely showing. But, I mean, today was his best game offensively of the year with a couple of hits. So
can you believe he went reach base four times. Today.
Yeah, two for two with a couple of walks.
With 2 walks, and that increased his batting average to 170.
It's better than the 133 it was. So
429. So, like, that, like, just having one good day brought up his average by, like, 30 or 40 points. But
yep.
It's just he's off to a disastrous start. But he's not the only Jay that's below expectations right now.
And we'll get into that, yeah.
We'll get into that, but the main thing I'm excited for is having Danny Jansen in this lineup gives them some power later in the lineup.
Yep.
He's a dead pull hitter, and he might be the only, him and Turner might be the only guys who will be doing the dead pull shuffle there up at the plate. It's just kind of wild to me how much this team is struggling. If it wasn't for Justin Turner right now, this team would be 4 or 5 games below 500. And people were complaining.
Yeah, Justin Turner's been worth every penny so far this year. He's really the only Blue Jay who's consistently produced with others in scoring position. They showed a stat going into the game. I think he was like 7 for 9 this season against lefties and had a couple more hits today off of lefties. So.
Yeah.
He's been doing exactly what you want your number 4 hitter to do. And he's been hitting the ball like some of the best like contact and like hard hit rates of his in a long time that we've seen from him over his career. So definitely nice to see him like hitting for a bit like some extra bases. He pulled a double down the line today that scored a run, had a single up the gut. So yeah, we take those all the time.
Whatever infection is running its way through the Jays lineup as far as struggling with runners in scoring position, Justin Turner appears to be immune. So let's keep that energy going, Justin Turner, please.
Yeah, I think that's just kind of how he is. Been around. He's played a lot of seasons, so he's got a lot of experience to rely on. And I mean, we've seen it the last few years. His run production numbers have picked up. We've talked about it before. He had a career high 96 RBI. For Boston last season. The only other season that came close was 2016 when he was with the Dodgers, so almost a decade ago. So the guy's, he's got something kind of figured out here later on in his career. Like what, he knows exactly what type of hitter he is, and he's obviously not searching for anything right now. He's just playing really well.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly fine with this.
Yeah, off of our segue, back into other rehab news. Romano and Swanson both pitched yesterday for the Bisons as well, Patrick. I guess Romano told the Jays beat, he was back up in Toronto today watching the game, that he thinks he's ready to return to the big league roster. I mean, you didn't pitch super well in Buffalo, but the good news is that he is, you know, completed a couple outings without issue. Eric Swanson, they think, may need one more rehab assignment just to feel fully back. He also pitched yesterday as well, but those two guys are both close, whether it's this Yankee series, you know, or when the Blue Jays head back out on the road. That would likely be the point in which those two guys will be reactivated at the latest. So the reinforcements are definitely on the way. Luckily, the bullpen is going to be pretty fresh going into the Yankees series because they only had to use 2 relievers today. Both Cabrera and Pearson pitched relatively easy innings. So the bullpen will be nice and healthy with the high leverage guys able to go in at least 2 to 3 games against the Yankees if needed. So that's good. Last note, Patrick, before we get into the Rockies recap, was Will Robertson down on the farm in Buffalo. Left-handed outfielder, he's hitting 400 right now with an OPS of 1.555. through the Bison's first 14 games. He's hitting for power and taking a ton of walks as well. So your question here in the sheet is, will Robertson be the first call-up from Buffalo this year outside of the rehab guys?
Both he and Spencer Horowitz are off to an electric start.
Even Addison Barger's playing really well too.
Yeah, so I mean, there is organizational depth that can take care of some of the issues that Jays have been having. I can't say that I am wildly impressed with Daniel Vogelbach to start the year, and I don't see why the Jays should belabor the point. I think they should call up Spencer Horowitz right away.
The Vogelbach thing, obviously he's not there. He's not going to play any defense. Right now their backup first baseman is Justin Turner.
He's hitting very well.
Horowitz can play a very solid first base. Yeah.
Yeah, I would much rather that than have a guy.
I think the problem the Jays see, Patrick, is they want their younger guys to get consistent at bats, and with Vladdy and Turner playing first base, and either one of them kind of getting a DH role or Springer getting a DH every now and again, it'd be pretty tough to find Spencer Horowitz a legit playing time, because you're not going to sit Vladdy and Turner very much because they're two of your best bats, especially Turner right now.
They're supposed to be, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reason that we saw them take Vogelbach out of camp as well, is that they really viewed that role on the bench as the spot that's not going to play very much. And things are going to change too once Jano comes back as well. Not that him and Kirk are ever going to DH, but that's just going to make their bench deeper for pinch hit opportunities as well, because whoever is, you know, not catching is then on the bench, they're able to come in later, because Brian Servin's not coming in to pinch hit, you know?
No.
So the playing time's going to get even less for Vogelbach.
Here's the thing, though, is you got a lot of guys in this lineup right now struggling. A lot. Kevin Kiermaier struggling. Dalton Varsho is improving, but he's not off to a great start. Kirk's not off to a great start. And, you know, as of today, Vladdy's under 200 for hitting. Bo is a tick above.
Yeah, Bo saw a seven-game hit streak end today, by the way. He was hitting 333 over that time going into today.
I'm still saying, like, these guys aren't producing, and I don't see the problem with generating competition within the organization. I don't see, Trotto, Vladdy, and what if he's hitting 200 into May and the season's over? Are we really, like, do we have to brute force the lineup every time? No matter what?
My next point that I was going to make with the Horowitz or Robertson conversation is that I do think that Vladdy and Bo maybe just need a day off, you know? Like, they've played every day so far.
Yeah.
And when things aren't going well and you keep, you know, banging your head against the wall, it doesn't necessarily mean things are going to improve. Vladdy's still scorching the ball, but the launch angle again has been the issue. A lot of balls right into the ground and rolling over a lot to the left side of the infield. Bo had three ground outs today as well. So it's both guys, I think, just need some time off. And I mean, it's not the Blue Jays don't have the ability to give those guys that. I mean, they've got Clement or AKF who can play shortstop more than fine. And then for Vladdy, obviously, you've got Turner, Biggio, Vogelbach, if necessary, who could all play first base. So it's like there is the opportunity there to give them, you know, just a day off to, you know, not worry about hitting, and maybe they pinch hit later in the game or something. But I think there's this feeling that they need to play every day. And yeah. I think if guys are struggling this much, you know, it's tough to see why they should be playing every day. Like, I'm looking at their last seven games right now. Vladdy has had 25 at-bats, only five hits in that time. Two of them are extra base hits. Walked twice, struck out twice. So it's not like he's striking out. There's just the lack of you know, good contact. He might be hitting the ball hard, but the barrel rate is low because he's hitting him too low to get barrels. So it's just Bo hitting 240 over that time. We mentioned the seven-game hit streak ending. Springer's actually hitting 280 over his last seven, but the power numbers, he's got no extra base hits in that time, but I'll take 280 from your leadoff guy anyway. he's getting on base and Turner's driving him in. So it's just, yeah, I don't know what it is, but it's tough. I think you're right, though. I think they do need to shake something up. Hopefully the Jano activation injects some life into the offense and at least gives them another bat that they can, you know, inject into like the fifth or sixth spot in the order instead of having Kirk hitting seventh or eighth where he probably should be.
There's a very painful add-on I have to add on to this, and it is that right now I love Kevin Kiermaier.
Great. Yeah, he's struggling.
Player. But the Jays can't afford to field a guy struggling this much.
Yep.
When they have Will Robertson lighting it up in AAA, there's no reason not to give him a shot.
Yeah,
he has options.
To be fair to Kiermaier, I mean, he's hitting .267 in the last seven games, which is, you know, above his career average. So he's improving a bit. But I mean, your top five hitters this past week in terms of batting average have been Turner, Biggio, Connor Falefa, Varsho, and Schneider. And, you know, outside of Turner, none of those guys are playing every day right now. I was quite surprised when they sat Varsho in favor of Kiermaier today because Varsho actually had some success. I think he was like 3-for-7 with a home run against today's starter Kyle Freeland going into the game. He had seen him in the National League days. So I was surprised to see Varsho sit over Kiermaier, especially coming off of, you know, back-to-back games with home runs. And we talked about this last episode as well, too. You know, I think the Jays need to stop solely relying on, you know, the analytics and start going with, you know, who's hot. And Varsho, I felt, deserved to be in the lineup today after hitting home runs in the first two games of the series. So
somebody, and I don't even know if it's John Schneider, is overthinking this.
I think it is John Schneider who sets the lineups, and I think there is a lot of overthinking. You know, I think in a lot of cases they have made some good calls this year with the lineup, but I would need to hear a good explanation as to why Varsho wasn't in there today in order to understand it. Just because of the fact that he'd had some success already against Freeland. He was one of the few Blue Jays who had, you know, a few at-bats versus Freeland back to his days with the Diamondbacks. Turner had a lot of success against them, too, and he saw him a lot as they're in the same division with the Rockies. So
Let's Dodgers, pound through these results here.
For
Justin,
sure.
We'll start off with a 12-4
that was
destruction
fun.
On Friday. That was brutal.
How long did you make it? I was done after the fourth inning.
I didn't even finish the third inning when the Rockies went up 4-2.
Yeah,
I was like, I can see the writing on the wall. Gosman doesn't have his stuff right now. He looks really bad. And yeah. Before this game, I was like not even remotely concerned. What did I say? Two or three or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like at a 9 right now.
Yeah, my biggest problem is that like he looked really like fine in his first start against Tampa, which you would think if you're going to struggle against anybody, it'd be Tampa, because they're such a good hitting team.
Destroyed.
But yeah, he just the Yankees have beat on him now, and now the Rockies have beat on him too, and it's tough to see. And I'm just really wondering if, you know, he was ready to start the season there, or if they should have just left him in Florida for one or two more build up outings. And now you're at the point where, you know, you've added Rodriguez to the starting rotation, and thankfully we'll talk about him in a moment. He pitched well. But do you put Gosman on the IL for 15 days and, you know,
yep,
get 100%. Him to Florida and let him just pitch in some warm weather and rehab for a bit? So
yep,
I don't know.
Absolutely. You can't take an L like this every 5 days.
Yeah. I bet you they'll
out of the playoffs before July.
I bet you they'll give him one more game and see how his side session goes here before his next start. And if he's not feeling well, or if the next outing isn't great, then I could see like a phantom injury pop up with, like, you know, arm fatigue or something. But
credit though,
the velo was better for Gosman. But yeah, the Rockies were just hammering. They're even hitting the splitter. He had a lot of whiffs still, but when they were making contact, they were hitting missiles off him. So.
8 of the 9 starters for the Rockies had multi-hit games.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, we've talked about it before, right? Some games you just get thumped, and that was one of them.
But I mean, they had a lot. They got a lot out of Chris Bryant in that game. Ryan McMahon also went 4 for 6.
Yeah.
They just crushed him, and it wasn't just Gossman. What happens? Like, the game was definitely over by the time Gossman left.
Oh God, yeah, it was. But it was tough.
Espino went out, and he wasn't really much better.
No, but at least he gave them, you know, 8 outs, which they needed.
Yep. Yenesis Cabrera got them 2 outs without conceding a run, and then Mitch White came out and did what Mitch White does best.
Sucked.
just overall. And then along the base paths, 1 for 6, team runners with scoring position.
Yeah, it didn't matter.
They had 11 hits, but they just couldn't generate any offense at all. And Vladdy went 0 for 4, Bo went 1 for 4. So, like, right off the bat, Springer went 1 for 4. So, right off the bat, your top three hitters, you're getting nothing.
I mean, 5 of your 11 hits were from your bottom three in the lineup. And I can't fit a home run in the bottom of the ninth when the game was already over. Farstro hit his in the second inning. So, I mean, it's just, it didn't matter in this game. It was just nothing to say about it, unfortunately.
Yeah, it wasn't good, but whatever. They got bulk out of guys. The game was already over, so
It
doesn't matter if they lose 5-4 or 12-4. Yeah. Like, a loss is a loss. And
I'm wondering, Patrick, and we'll talk about it now because we're going to talk about Saturday's game. Yariel Rodriguez, he came up and made his first big league start for the Blue Jays, and I thought he looked pretty great. I mean, he made one mistake, gave up a home run. It was a solo job, though, to Brendan Doyle, Brenton Doyle, in the third inning. So other than that, Rodriguez, he went 3 2/3 innings. He was on a pitch count. He got right up to it. They said he was going to throw about 70 pitches, and he threw 68.
68, 44. 44
for strikes, which you like to see. He gave up 4 hits, including the home run. That's the only run he gave up. 2 walks, and also, got 6 strikeouts. The Jays turned 2 double plays on defense, IKF, Biggio, and Guerrero. It's good to see that. Varsho had a grand slam in the very first inning, and the Jays scored all 5 of their runs in the first inning, and the game was pretty quick after that. Now that we've seen Rodriguez, Patrick, do well, Bowden Francis pitched in relief, Patrick, there yesterday. He did give up 2 runs over 2 1/3 innings, which still seeing him struggle. But with Mitch White struggling too, and, we saw Bowden Francis have success in this bulk relief role last year. Is it time for the Jays to DFA Mitch White when they reactivate one of Romano or Swanson?
Yep.
Yeah, I agree.
We're done. What's the point? What are we doing here? Does the team want to compete, or do they want to hold on to guys on the off chance that they magically recreate what they were able to do in the minor leagues last year? And it's not worth it. I say, yep, DFA. He'll get a fresh start elsewhere.
Yeah, or else nobody claims him. Yeah, he goes to Buffalo and provides depth down there.
Which is fine. Bowden Francis, the fact that he has just been absolutely miserable this year is highly concerning.
Good news for him is he does have options. So
yeah. Oh, yeah, no, he'll be on the first bus to Buffalo.
The other bad news is that Paolo Espino has not been great statistically either, So the Jays haven't got much at all from any of the three guys they've used in multi-inning roles, those three guys, White, Espino, and Francis.
Send them all down.
I think, Espino and White have to be the guys that you send, that you get rid of first to bring back Romano and Swanson. I'd much rather keep Bowden Francis around, as he does still have more strikeout ability than those other two.
He's got as long really as he goes curveball. Back to only needing to get 3 outs.
For Bowden, I think he's still like a 6-out guy, but you're not going to use him in close games. Yeah, like this game.
Yeah, if I was up 8 runs, I'd feel comfortable.
Yeah, this game they really only used him because they needed some bulk behind Rodriguez, and luckily for them, they were up 5-1 when Rodriguez exited the game, so it wasn't a close game, so they could afford to give up those 2 runs.
Yeah.
Tim Meza was back to being excellent yesterday, Patrick. Faced a couple of lefties in his inning. First guy he got him to break his bat and weakly ground out. We got a strikeout as well. It's good to see that. The velocity was back to where you'd expect it for Timmy. Chad Green with another great inning. 2 strikeouts of clean ball. And then Jimmy Garcia struck out the side to earn the save. It was actually only his first save of the season, even though he's pitched in some pretty big moments because they've typically, in some cases, used him ahead of Chad Green, who's gotten the majority of the save opportunities. But the way Jimmy's been pitching and, you know, touching 98 to 100 on his fastball, they've kind of been forced to use him in that closer's role until Romano's back. So
they need it.
Yeah, it was great to see
Gausman struggling. Like,
yeah, great to see those three guys, especially, you know, have three great outings in the same game. After Francis exited the game, the Rockies didn't have another base runner. So you'll have to see that. But yeah, that was the story.
A lot of this team's success yesterday had to do with Dalton Varsho hitting the grand slam. The top of the lineup, they got their hits, but Springer, zero runs batted in. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., zero runs batted in. Bo Bichette, zero runs batted in. Vogelbach DHing, zero runs driven in. Kevin Biggio, zero runs driven in. It's concerning. Like, that's your top five in the lineup. And again, I don't know why Vogelbach is getting PAs hitting fourth. Like, surely Kevin Biggio has done more than he has to earn that opportunity. What about Davis Schneider, who actually did go 1-for-2 and had an RBI? It's just like, Jesus Christ, I can't understand the lineup construction of this.
The logic of putting Vogelbach there, Patrick, is that, say, like fifth or sixth inning, the Rockies go to a right-hander. You pinch hit Justin Turner in that DH spot, and then he's in that spot the rest of the game, in the spot in the lineup.
So that didn't happen.
It didn't happen yesterday. It didn't need to happen.
Vogelbach was useless.
He got on base once and scored a run on the grand slam. Okay. So, I mean,
I don't understand. He's hitting 167. He's not doing anything.
I mean, he's got pretty much the same OPS as Bo Bichette so far. So, and Vladdy Guerrero.
Bo Bichette, though, has like 5 years of success behind his belt, while Vogelbach has
a track record of hitting right-handed pitching, and that's what was on the mound yesterday.
Yeah, he did an excellent job yesterday. But anyway,
you're so salty about everyone not having RBIs. It's like April the 14th, my guy.
It's not just that. It's not that. I don't understand why he's in a roster spot on the team. I don't get it.
It's because we kind of talked about it. It's because they want those other guys to get every day at bats. Whoever they would call up to replace him, unless it's Joey Votto, which he's not playing in Buffalo yet, he's still playing in Dunedin rehabbing. They're not going to get regular at bats, and they're probably not going to see level of success. I mean, we see it. You know, Schneider and Ernie Clement aren't getting regular playing time, and there's been games where they've gone, like, you know, 0-for with a couple strikeouts. And then everyone's like, oh, then they put them on the bench again. So it's like they need guys who are here to get regular playing time. And that last bench spot that Vogelbach occupies is the spot that's not getting regular playing time. So that's why he's there.
Yeah, but when it leads to losses, again, I don't understand what the team
they won yesterday. So it's kind of
But Vogelbach was not really a factor in that.
I mean, nobody outside of Dalton Varsho was really a factor yesterday.
Davis Schneider was a factor. But anyway, my point is that this team has internal options to improve right now. And they're so highly protective of players they like as opposed to players that have the potential to perform better and to bring this team more wins now.
Patrick, where are you going to play Spencer Horwitz if he's up on the roster?
Wherever Vogelbach plays, and also
only a DH.
Vladimir Guerrero an opportunity to have a day off.
Yeah, I mean,
where he's struggling so much.
Still, I mean, it's
you brought that point up yourself.
I know I did, but I'm saying like a Vladdy day off is like once every 50 games essentially, where he's not either playing first base or DHing.
Yeah, given his performance to start the year, I would argue that he needs maybe more than that.
I agree, but it's not going to happen. They're not going
to
do it.
You're right.
They don't have the balls to do it. So
yeah, no, they love to set the lineup, and they love to make sure the players that they like get the most amount of playing time regardless of performance and regardless of whether or not the team needs a win or not. You're right. It's fantastic. I love it. There's nothing I love more about this team than trying to force players to be in the lineup when they're clearly not performing. There's nothing better. I don't understand it. It's strange to me because it's like this team loves analytics. They're obsessed with it. Look at what they did last year in the playoffs, right? Like, remember when they yanked Berríos?
Yep.
Analytics made that decision. John Schneider owned it. But the fact of the matter is there was no way that wasn't discussed beforehand. Right? They're obsessed with analytics. But every time analytics are in favor of making a different decision, they don't do it. It happened with it during the Charlie era. It's happening during the John Schneider era. Where do you draw the line? Like, why not ride the hot hand? That's why there are other teams that perform better than the Jays, at least to start this year. I don't know. I guess I see baseball differently.
Yeah. I think that's part of it, is that we see things. It's easy for us to sit back on the couch and, you know, try to like say like, oh yeah, I think they should do this. But I mean, we don't really know what happens behind closed doors at these teams, obviously. So that's where we see it from a bird's eye view, and they see it from, like, you know, boots on the ground. But I understand. Like, I'm not disagreeing with you. I just don't think that developmentally, if the Jays see Spencer Horwitz as a guy that they can use in their future, I don't think having him come up and get one game a week is the right call.
So Spencer Horwitz,
the Will Robertson thing, I can get behind, because
they're the same age.
Yes, I understand. I know. Yeah, I was looking at that too. Will Robertson, I can understand, because I think, you know, if he was a right-handed bat, Patrick, I'd be screaming for him to be on this team yesterday. But they already have a problem where they do have those two left-handed outfielders, both of their center fielders slash their left fielder in Varsho.
That's true.
And it's they're already having to sit one of them every time there's a lefty on the mound, and you're not gonna, you know, plug Will Robertson into that spot for the same reason, because they're gonna they put David Schneider in left field when there's a lefty in. And when there's a right-handed batter or right-handed hitter on the or pitcher on the mound, you're not gonna sit George Springer unless he's DHing. Well, you could put Will Robertson in his like in right field, but it's just the playing time for non-regulars on this team is so little. Like, they're having a hard enough time getting enough playing time for David Schneider and Ernie Clement right now, because, you know, IKF's playing well. Like, he's hitting .295. right now,
and playing
really good defense. So how do you justify, you know, sitting him in favor of Ernie Clement, who's, I mean, Ernie Clement's hitting .265. Yeah, see, those are the problems, right? It's that it's your big players who aren't performing well, but you're also not going to give those guys, you're not just going to sit Springer, Guerrero, and Bichette all in one game, because they still have the potential to, you know, break open a game, like with Bo's hit a big home run this year. Vladdy's had a couple of big home runs. Like, they still have the potential to like be a game breaker any time. So you're not going to sit all of them at once. So it's just so hard to find playing time for bench bats in Major League Baseball that they're caught between a rock and a hard place with these young players who are playing well, because they're playing well, you want them to come up and play, but you also have to find playing time, and that's the hard part.
That's where they struggle. I would rather have a 26-year-old overdeveloped AAA player on the bench getting one or two days worth of DH replacement at bats or PAs than Vogelbach.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I'm saying the team doesn't see it that way.
And why they're 8-8, which is fine, which is fine.
Yeah.
It's mid-April.
Yeah.
There's no reason to get our knickers in a twist.
Especially because we know, like, we're having this conversation because they aren't playing well yet, you know, and that's why we're talking about this.
But it's very frustrating. Like,
it is.
It's
yeah.
Probably coming out a little bit in this episode, and it's because I it's not just about one player who clearly I don't want on the team right now, but it's about some of these players who are heavily favored by the organization. Like, for example, again, I don't want to pick on Alejandro Kirk every episode from now until the end of the year, because that's almost what happened last year, and I don't want to do it anymore. I get it that Daniel Jansen is hurt. We can't do anything about that. He'll be back Monday. That'll take some of the pressure off of Kirk, who has clearly struggled, and Brian Servan has not really delivered much other than being there to prevent the ball from hitting the backstop every pitch, which is fine. I guess he's a replacement level catcher, but the Jays had one of those in their system already.
Yeah.
And they traded him away.
You're very mad today.
I know. I need to dial it back a little bit. Let's talk about the 5-0 win. Okay. This was,
yeah.
This is what I expect. This is the default what I expect from this team. Against
to win 5-0 every game.
against a Rockies team. Like
yeah.
Like a team that we know is bad.
I was like the default you expect. That's a lot.
No. But like, what went well during this game? Well, everything. George
yeah.
Springer was 2-for-4 and scored twice. Vladdy drove in a run. Bo was invisible at the plate, but okay, it's like you said, he's just coming off of a hot streak, whatever. Justin Turner was 3-for-4 with 3 runs batted in. Davis Schneider, 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts, okay, whatever. But Ernie Clement, 2-for-4. Alejandro Kirk, 2-for-2 with 2 walks. On top of that, IKF drove in a run. Very important run. Kevin Kiermaier, 1-for-4, scored a run. This is good. This is the start of, I think, this is where I was expecting the team to be day one, and they weren't there. So now, 10% of the way into the season, they're there now.
Yeah.
But I let's mean, not, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, last Sunday we talked about what this team needs to do to find success. And Patrick, they won 4 games on this homestand, and in all 4 of those games, they scored exactly 5 runs. And that's kind of what we said that they had to do to be able to win games.
Yep.
Yeah, they had a 5-2 win against Seattle, 5-3 against Seattle, 5-3 against Colorado, 5-0 against Colorado. So it's games where you get, 8 to 12 hits that they got today. Yeah, maybe one of those games, like the Varsho game, for example, they're 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position, but that one could be a grand slam. And you take it. Today they were 5-for-13 with runners in scoring position, which is like 400-ish. Mm-hmm. Just over, I think. And Turner had 3 RBIs with 2 outs too, which, I mean, he's just been clutch all year, whether it's, hitting the ball hard or the bottom of the first where he kind of had that pop up to shallow right field. The second baseman couldn't get a glove on. Like sometimes you just place a ball right, like it doesn't have to be a line drive double off the wall that scores a run. It's all about where you place it. And I mean, Vladdy's hit in the third inning, I thought it was really good. I mean, it was a nice inside out hitting the ball on the outside corner the other way, and which is what
you
want to see from him.
You're talking about the one that
scored KK? Yeah.
In the third?
Exactly. Yeah, that was a great at bat for Vladdy. I mean, he took what the pitcher gave him, and he hit it to right field and hit it hard. We talk about wanting to see more guys pull the ball, but if the pitcher's pitching you away, when you try to pull the ball, that's when you see all these rollovers on ground balls. And I mean, Vladdy took that pitch and just smoked it to right field. So that's a great outcome there. But I think the Jays are doing what they need to do within the games that they're winning. It seems like anytime this team gets a solid start from their starting pitching, they have won this year. And Brios has done it, 3 times now. So, or 4 times now.
What a performance today!
Yeah.
Just he sliced through the Rockies like they were a AA team. It was ridiculous. Look at the heart of their lineup: 2-1-2-3 strikeouts apiece. What I've noticed with Brios in this season and last season. His revenge tour, mm-hmm. we'll call it. The league has yet to make the adjustments to try to hit that slurve pitch. Nobody can do it.
And if they're trying, they're doing a shitty job.
Yeah. Today he got 47.6% whiff percentage.
Yep.
On his slurve. 34.8% chase. That's wild. He's very difficult to hit, and that slurve, if you get baited by that slurve, you're toast. And he did it today. He got 7 innings, which is great,
because
that limits the amount of time the bullpen's got to be out there. And guess who else is having a great start to the season? Okay, it's not Yenesis Cabrera, who was good today. But let's talk about Nate Pearson.
Yeah.
1 inning pitched, 3 strikeouts.
He brought the velo today, too.
Guess what his ERA is for the year in 6
He doesn't have one yet, pitched. Patrick.
0. Nothing.
Yep.
1.11 whip. I don't know what type of cereal he's eating these days, but keep eating it, Nate Pearson, because after years of injuries and false starts and frustrating moments, here we are in the first month of the 2024 season, his age 27 year. Nate Pearson is locked in, and it's not just the fastball. He's giving us exactly what we had gotten in years past from Tim Mazza, which is like out of nowhere quality appearances. And the team needs it now more than ever, especially with so many of these fringe players floundering, right? They just launched Wes Parsons out of a t-shirt cannon and got what was it, $250,000?
Yeah, international signing bonus money. Yeah.
Mitch White's checking under his bed at night, you know, for the DFA. Did Espino get sent down yet?
No, not yet. Not officially, because I think...
Yeah, because he's avoiding eye contact with everybody as well.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And I know there's not that many players to call up, but, you know, something's got to give. Like, if you can't perform at the top level, you gone. Mm-hmm. Like, pitching, I would say, has less of a runway than what some of the struggling hitters like Kevin Kiermaier, Daniel Vogelbach have. That being said, I know they're not getting rid of Kevin Kiermaier. They're just, I think if he continues to struggle this much, his playing time probably does get limited, right? Like, you can't just... are they going to Bradley Zimmer him? Like, are they just going to put him out there?
Just trot him out there? Yeah. I hope not.
Anyway.
I respect
I don't want to pick on those two guys anymore. Let's talk about Nate Pearson, okay? I just... Whatever it is he's tapped into right now, I want to see Nate out there at least 3 times a week.
Yeah.
Doing this. The team needs it badly. And, you know, Yenesis Cabrera and Tim Mazza are coming back around. But, and as soon as Romano and Swanson get in, you know they're not going to be ripping it up right away. They're going to need time to adjust because they're essentially a month behind everybody else, right? So these are very bright lights in an otherwise very dark start to the season. Yeah, I don't have any other notes about this. They blew Colorado away. The whole team limited them to just 2 hits. And Colorado looked like a 4-12 team by the end of the
season. They did, yeah. Outside of the first game and maybe for a couple innings yesterday, Colorado looked like the team that the Jays thought they were going to get coming into this series. I mean, offensively, defensively, they had a couple of boot arounds. Like, it's you kind of got what you expected from that record, and I mean, that's fair. I think, you know, like, the Jays played well enough in this series to get some dubs, and that's what you wanted to see. So, I mean, we always talk about how difficult it is to sweep teams in Major League Baseball, and I think we kind of saw why, because every once in a while you run into a team who puts up 20 hits on you. It's just how it goes.
I know we've been a little bit salty today.
One of us has, yeah. Just kidding.
Namely myself.
Yeah. No, I know. I understand. Like, the feeling is fair. Obviously, this team has not performed to a level that we'd expect.
Yeah.
So I think your feelings are always were justified, you know, and are justified. It's this team needs to perform better if they expect to compete in this league. And yeah, so far they've just been like very, very mid, because they haven't performed up to snuff at all.
It's more the hitting than anything. They're a bottom 10 team in hitting for team OPS.
Yeah.
But then you look at team pitching, and as far as ERA goes, no, they're in the bottom 10 as well. But there's just, I don't know. They're getting a lot of very timely hits, like Dalton Varsho, from the top rope yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm just... We should be grateful they're 8-8, because it feels like they should be at least 4 wins fewer than that.
Agreed.
Which is quite disturbing.
Yeah, it's concerning.
Yeah, but I mean, if we go by team batting averages, the Toronto Blue Jays are 24th out of 30. So their hitting has been quite bad. Now, eventually this will all even out, right? Hopefully.
You would hope.
You would hope. Because otherwise it'll be a long season where being at 500 is going to be, you know, what we get.
Yeah.
It's just tough to digest, man. I expected more out of this team. And yeah, no, they had a great week. But still, it's not. It doesn't feel like it's enough. Am I just being too hard?
Yes and no. I think it's not. It's not unreasonable to expect more. But I mean, if you look at this roster, it's like they aren't the best baseball team out there. So,
no.
They've performed to about as well as I think I thought they would to this point.
I didn't think that Bo and Vladdy and Springer would.
No, they've gotten to this point not in a way that I figured they would. I thought that their bigger bats would be, you know, better than they have been. So, but you know, maybe that'll come. You know, all it takes is for a couple guys to get hot for a couple games here, and then it'll be a completely different story.
Maybe there's some injuries we don't know about.
It's always possible. Yeah, that's always possible.
Love to hide that stuff. Professional sports teams, I don't get it. Well, I know, like, we have no right to know what somebody's injury status is, but
yeah, this just always, it seems that there's people just, you know, never,
if they're playing with a torn muscle or something, and it's like, why are you trying to force it?
Yeah,
who knows though. Hopefully this week is better, although the competition is much stiffer than Seattle and the Colorado Rockies. We'll start off with a 3-game set against the New York Yankees. Justin, give me the preview.
For sure. So game one, which the first two games, by the way, are regular 7:07 evening start times. The Blue Jays will see Luis Gil, who they've already seen already this year once in that first series in the Bronx. And he'll go up against Chris Bassett on what will be one of our favorite days of the year, Patrick. It's Jackie Robinson Day tomorrow. So everyone will be wearing number 42. Luis Gil is, you know, off to a pretty good start for the Yankees. Their actually entire rotation has been relatively solid this year, so it'll be tough for the Blue Jays to go up against him. Chris Bassett, on the other hand, is, you know, he's coming off of his, you could say, his best start of the season. He's still kind of working his way into game shape as well, but I mean, he pitched into the seventh inning last time out, gave up that home run late, but I mean, it was kind of a vintage Chris Bassett. Luis Gil, Patrick, last time went against the Jays. He went 4 1/3 against them, gave up 2 earned runs, struck out 8, and walked 4. He's got some grid velo. He throws 97 average on that fastball, but it's the changeup that the Jays have to watch out for. That's the pitch that he's been using a lot to get strikeouts. We saw it last time, too. I mean, the Jays just seem to whiff at that changeup. They've struggled against changeups this year. They got no hit by a guy with a good changeup. So I think that's what the hitters should be looking for is the changeup, if you want to just look at previous track records. So hopefully the Jays can get to him a little bit early in the game and get into the Yankee bullpen. Their middle relief guys, as we saw in the Bronx, aren't as good as they once were, but their back end of the bullpen with Clay Holmes is still very good. So hopefully they can get a lead early.
Yeah, I'm not too nervous about this matchup. Game two is interesting.
Game two, yeah. Carlos Rodon is actually pitching quite well this year, Patrick. Kind of what the Yankees were hoping they would get from him, I think, when they went out and got him in free agency last winter. Last year was just miserable for him. He was injured for like partial or most of the year, just couldn't get healthy. But so far this season, he's appeared in three games, has pitched 15 and two-thirds total innings, and has an ERA of only 1.72. He's given up four runs, only two earned so far. And both of those earned runs, only two earned runs. If I'm reading correctly. Oh, that was in April. So three earned runs on the season. My apologies. But two of those earned runs were both on solo home runs. So that was in one start against Arizona. His last time out was against Miami, a really bad team so far this year, when he went six two-run innings, but unearned runs. And he's actually striking out guys again this year, where in the past that's been a big thing for him. He had six strikeouts and six innings last time out. So the velo is down a bit. He used to throw like 97. He's now throwing 95. So a little bit slower than he used to throw. He's kind of back to around like his 2020 levels of velo, which is kind of interesting. But his slider looks good, and he's added a cutter in the last couple of seasons. That's actually been, you know, from what we know about cutters, we know we don't really care for them on this show, but it's actually not been a bad pitch for him.
Yep. I've been happy with Yusei Kikuchi so far. He had a bad start, and then he followed up with two really good starts. Mm-hmm.
He loves pitching against the Yankees.
Yeah, this will be a good matchup. I think this is the premier game of the set. And then game three, Marcus Stroman is the bump against Kevin Gausman. It would feel really good to beat up on Marcus Stroman in the Yankee Stadium. So let's maybe do that.
Well, it's in Toronto, this series, so.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, let's beat him up in Toronto. Fine, whatever.
Yeah, and he was good out last time out. He pitched in the Yankee home opener against the Blue Jays. He had six shutout innings. The Jays did come back to win that game, but Stroman didn't factor into the decision. He only gave up three hits, one walk, and struck out six. He's off to a really good start as well, Patrick, so far for the season. His ERA sits at 2.12 over 17 innings. Has only given up one home run, and that was in his last start against the Marlins when he had his worst start of the year. His only bad one so far, where he actually gave up, you know, four earned runs over five innings, walked four in that one, but still struck out seven. So, I mean, we know all about Marcus Stroman. He's got six pitches that he throws: sinker, slider, cutter, split, slurve, and a four seamer. The big three are the sinker, the slider, and the cutter. He'll mix in the splitter, the slurve, and the four seamer occasionally, but it's that sinker you got to look out for. He's really good at getting ground balls, always has been. So I think the Jays against him are going to have to be quite selective, and hopefully they're able to, you know, get to him a little bit early, and if they get a couple runs in the first attempt of the order, that will set them up for success. But ideally, I mean, you go into that game with a win already, and hopefully you've weakened the Yankee bullpen to a point where you can take advantage of the middle to later innings and go from there. But yeah, I think the third game will be the toughest, just based on pitching matchup. Obviously, Gausman has struggled so far. That one's a day game. It's a 3:07 getaway game. The Jays will be off on Thursday again, but the Yankees are flying out, and the Jays are headed out on the road after this one as well. So, Thursday at 3:07, the Jays will fly out to the West Coast to play San Diego, which is a place the Jays haven't been much at all in their history, so that'll be fun to see. But yeah, that's all I got for the preview on the Yankees anyway. Offensively, we know the Yankees. You got to watch out for Aaron Judge. You got to watch out for Giancarlo Stanton against the Blue Jays. Anthony Rizzo always seems to give you a headache. And Anthony Volpe is off to a really good start for the Yankees as well, too. So look out for him.
I'm not nervous about this one.
Really?
No.
This seems like the one that you would be nervous for.
No, I didn't think. I mean, the Jays were they came up very slightly short in coming back and taking one of those games against the Yankees earlier in the season. So, yeah, it's early. The Yankees are obviously really hot right now, and you know what I really want to see from the Toronto Blue Jays this first three game set is I want to see success from Springer, Bichette, and Guerrero.
Yeah,
runs
I think
runs driven in plural.
Yeah, my key to this series is something similar, not singling anybody out, but I think taking advantage of opportunities the first 10th of the order. If you can get a guy to second base in the first couple innings, you've got to find a way to score him. Mm-hmm. Because these starters are all three of these starters are off this like very good starts for the Yankees. And I mentioned it, like their middle inning bullpen guys aren't as strong as they have been in the past. So if you can knock a starter out after five innings, you've got a good chance to get, you know, two, three innings of middle relief guys before you've got to deal with Clay Holmes. So, yeah, take advantage of early opportunities. Try and get that pitch count up early. Competitive at bats. I don't want to see guys just, you know, swinging at, I don't want to see chases because all three of these pitchers are going to try and get you to chase. Except for Stroman, he's more of a pitch-to-contact guy, but he does still get strikeouts. But I don't want to see chases. I'm fine with strikeouts if it's a good pitch, but I don't want to see guys, you know, swinging at sliders 2 feet off the plate. So let's clean that up a bit.
Yep, I would say the same thing. I'm looking for the top three in the order to – I want them all – the expectation should be multi-hit games from all three of them, at least – one out of three games.
Yeah, I mean,
twice.
If I'd be happy with seeing the top three guys, you know, go like 4 for 12 in the series, you know, hit 333, whatever that works out to be.
That would be a success, but there needs to be runs driven in though. Runs.
Yeah, if they have the opportunity to do so, they need to step up to the plate for sure.
That's what I'm focused on right now, is the top part of the lineup. If they can get hot, if they can keep things moving along, drive in those runs, get to those Yankee starters early and as often as they can, knock them out of the game. The momentum is on their side right now as far as pitching performance.
Yep.
So take advantage of it. And hopefully Kevin Gausman has a great start in game mm-hmm. three. Mm-hmm. Ideally, the Jays take the first two games. And then the focus can be on Kevin Gausman kind of rehabilitating his performance well enough to get, you know, five innings pitched of under two earned runs. I would take that.
Yep.
Give the team a chance to scratch a few runs, whatever it takes to get the win. This is an important series, but I'm not really too concerned over, you know, whether it's a 2-1 series win or a 2-1 series loss. Like, I'm not too concerned.
Sure.
Because they're playing a better team, a team that's at least 2 to 3 tiers above them. So just focus on, let's see some consistency with the big bats at the top of the order. And yeah.
Gotta try to make some magic happen for sure. No, I think it should be a fun series, but we'll be back again on Thursday to recap everything and tee you guys up for the Blue Jays road trip that will take them on a long road trip for only 6 games, Patrick. They'll go to San Diego, and then they're going to fly all the way back to play the Kansas City Royals before coming home again. So literally flying across the continent and back. So we'll see how that goes with the team. But that'll be it for us for now. If you like what we do, give us a follow at BFMD Podcast. You can find us and listen to us anywhere you get your podcasts. A little bit of tension on today's episode, but that always makes for a good one. For Patrick out in Halifax, I am Justin here in Saskatoon, and we'll see you next time.